we've never really set out to write these kind of records, I'm guessing, as a player, but does it weigh on you how great an achievement is?
Probably not exactly just yet. I was speaking to the coach before about it. It's one of those things, you obviously don't set out to do it. And as a young captain, I probably didn't understand the position that I was holding at the time, but you look back on it quickly this week and you just understand that you supported so well along the way that to allow that to happen in the early days. The captaincy role has changed a bit over the journey, but so has the league. Like, I've been so probably lucky that free agencies come in. We've got a whole new list out there that only a couple of the guys that I've played with the whole journey along. But yeah, I'll enjoy it for what it is. I'll leave it there.
Have you been thinking about it in the weeks leading in, or even last season? Were you sort of thinking, oh, that's sort of on the radar as a potential?
No. That's a simple question there. We sort of vote for the captaincy each year. This year we just had a bit of a discussion about it too, and what we want the individual that ends up being captain to be is fully supported, and I felt that, and that's where it landed.
How have you changed, Joel, when you first took the role as captain compared to how you sort of fulfill the role now?
There's a few key things that I think that obviously stay, Pete. It's obviously performance is key. I've got to be good enough to keep going and feel like I can play a role within the side too. Got to be able to support the coach and the game plan that we're doing. Challenge at times, but then the relationship staff has obviously had to change over the journey for the guys that we brought into the club and the culture that, you know, we want to make sure we build and continually try and make guys want to come to the footy club and enjoy their time whilst they're at the footy club.
Joel, when you started, you probably had 110, 115 games to your name, and a lot of blokes older than you, more experienced than you in terms of, you know, their careers. How did you find that on reflection that, you know, you had guys that have been around it a lot longer? I know you've done a lot in 5 years, but is it something you look back and go, were you daunted at all?
It was a while ago, and I can't really remember back too far, but I remember being supported. I know I've said that word a few times already, but understand that guys had different interests too, whether they were going into the media or not. Like, the club set myself up with, you know, throughout the footy department, but also the coach too, in making sure that we were really settled, and the guys went out and played good footy. That made the job a lot easier.
How did you manage the COVID's a big thing for the footy club in the last 2 years? One weekend you were here and then you're on a bus in Queensland for 6 months. How did you manage that as captain?
To be honest, really enjoyed it. You know, as a different side of leadership that you had to show. It was uneasy at times, but we made it a scenario the best we could. It wasn't going to suit all players, but we did the best we could to suit as many as it could, and that was the attitude we took.
I was curious, Joel, the other night you said that when there's a new captain, you give them a ring. Is that because someone did that for you all those years ago, or is it just because you feel like the role's harder than it's ever been? I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, it didn't happen to me from what I can remember, but Tom Harley and Cameron Ling were obviously captains before me here at this footy club, and you know, I was leaning on them a little bit. And, you know, I usually just reach out through a message just to wish them all the best. It's the role of captaincy can, you know, you can come under a fair bit of pressure at different times too, but I just encourage the boys to enjoy the role that they're about to take on.
Has Stephen Kernahan reached out to you at all, Joel?
No, he hasn't. There's a few secrets going on in the background that I don't overly really like, the secrets, but I think that he may be there come Saturday.
Chris, you played under one of the best in Michael Voss. You've had your coach. The majority of your team has been with Joel as captain. How blessed do you feel that you've had two captains in your football career that have been such statesmen of the game?
Yeah, well, I shouldn't make it about me, but I have been lucky, haven't I, King? playing with and under, you know, one of the greats, and then being able to be a part of Joel's journey as well. It's been, I would consider sort of our relationship one of more a peer type relationship. I started off as a really young coach. Joel's talked about how he was supported, but as a coach, you couldn't hope for a better on-field sort of lead by example, captain, and then an off-field help build the culture, you know, support the environment that we're trying to create sort of person than Joel. So we shouldn't compare players from different eras especially. I'd just like to focus on what Joel's been for us and what he's been for our footy club. I think it's an opportunity for not just everyone within our footy club, but the wider community, all our fans, to get along and celebrate it's a one-off. It's the first time this has ever happened. It's a genuine record that is going to be very, very hard to break in the future. And we've had a couple of years where we've had some milestones as a footy club that we haven't been able to share with our supporters. So this week at the MCG and next week for our first game back at GMHBA, I mean, if there are still tickets left, and I know there are, then I'd encourage people to get along and help us celebrate what has been, you know, just one of the players of his generation.
There obviously can't have been a longer relationship between a coach and a captain because the job's obviously breaking the record. What kind of bond do you think you'll have when this is all said and done yet, after doing other things?
Can I go really quickly? And then I'm... it's a bond that it'll never be broken. It's not to say that we won't disagree on things in the future, in a similar way to some, you know, debates we've had in the past. But the mutual respect that's been built between us is such that it just nothing will ever get in the way of the relationship that we have. And we're still really optimistic about what we can do together in the future. We're not going to spend too much time looking back, but I look forward to a lifelong relationship with Joel. Can I just say, Bianca, just quickly, I'll let Joel answer that question, but if you could focus just the rest of the questions on Joel, because he's got to get out and prepare, so we might let him go and I'll stay and answer any other questions if you like.
The relationship with Chris, he'll be someone that I continue to lean on wherever life ends up taking the both of us. And that's as simple as what it will be, I think. A mutual respect that will continue on.
Joel, you've got enormous respect, A, for your competitive attitude on the field, but B, for the way you are off the field, in terms of being a decent person or whatever that
is. As a bare minimum, yeah.
How have you managed to do that? Has he been an animal on the field and not being an animal off the field?
I can probably thank mum and dad a little bit. My brothers, my wife. I appreciate the game for what it is too. You know, there's parts of me that, you know, you can put all the pressures in the world and, you know, on someone's shoulders, but when you get to throw that jumper on just before a game, before I walk out, there's no better feeling that I get each week than that. I was speaking to Nick Riewoldt and Jonathan Brown the other night, and Nick was speaking about the pressures that he thought, you know, came with it and the anxiety. I don't necessarily get that, but I get the love of, what you've worked through throughout the week to get ready for that moment to go again. So it's as simple as I can put it.
Have you run out of pre-game speeches yet?
probably bored them a few times. My head to tails ratio, I reckon I'm about 60% winning the toss too. So maybe that's a reason why I've stayed in the job so long too.
Are you a heads or a tails man?
I'm a heads man.
Yeah, okay.
Scott Penderbury might. I get the call this week.
Game wise, round one, you guys in the midfield were dominating against Essendon, and then on the weekend you were probably beaten by the Swans. How do you get back to that round one performance and take care of Collingwood on the weekend?
Yeah, I mean, we've learned quite a bit over the first couple of weeks. And as I said before, you know, we will prepare as well as what we possibly can for Collingwood. They've playing a different game style to what they have in the past. We'll see a couple of different people, a couple of different players from them in there. We understand that we need to be as sharp as we can be, because really, if contested ball numbers aren't good, if you're not chasing the ball after that, then you're going to have a hard day.
How many hours a week do you reckon you devote to the footy club?
You know what? I've been lucky. Like, a lot of the jobs do get shared. I've got a lot of good people looking over to make sure that I don't get drowned out in it. There's the lonely hours, Pete, that I like to do, preparing the body, keeping it up to scratch. But I also do love hanging around the people at this footy club. I wouldn't be doing it if I lost that love.
Chris, I guess you obviously had a front row seat to Joel's career. Can you maybe elaborate on him as a player and how inspirational you think he is as a figure for the Cats? And elsewhere, I suppose, not just within the Cats.
Yeah, I think it's a good point that I think he's widely admired, not just... Obviously, if you get a chance to see him close up, then it's so obvious and so inspiring. But I think the mark of the man and the player is that I think, you know, his the attraction to Joel is a lot broader than just Geelong fans. He's been an inspiring on-field leader, and I guess we don't feel the need to talk about that too much because it is in plain sight for everyone to see. But you know, to Pete's question, like, it would be hard for Joel to actually differentiate between, you know, his work life and other, because he just seems to be thinking about people all the time. And that's the measure of someone that's really invested. But when you reach his status in the game, I think one could be forgiven for prioritising yourself a little bit more. And he's just never been that sort of person. He's been all about the team. I think he's a little bit uncomfortable with the awards and the recognition that he keeps kind of knocking off, because he wants it to be about the team and he wants it to be about the fans as well. We were having a conversation just this morning where he's talking about how he feels like he's just... wants to be the best representative he can of the Geelong Footy Club, and that's everyone, the supporters as well. And that's why I think it would only be fitting if we got huge crowds over the next couple of weeks coming along to recognise him. But, you know, I brought that up with him as well, and he said, yeah, but don't forget about Tom Hawkins' 300th when there were, no fans, and Corey Enright broke the game's record and there were no fans. Like, it's... We're trying to make it about him a little bit because he deserves it, and he keeps deflecting it to everyone else. And I think that's one of the marks of a great leader.